It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, now, disruptor. Mate, Smithy, I hate this rule, and I don't know a single soul, a single breathing soul that was watching rugby league and said we had an issue with catchers catching the ball and we need to fix it. Mate, I would love to hear your thoughts, and then obviously I'll give mine.
Well, who's – someone's had a whinge, obviously, to the NRL about it, some sort of tactic that a team or teams – plural, have been employing, you know, to do this, to put off, you know, wingers or fullbacks or catchers of the footy, because they wouldn't bring in a new rule just for the sake of it. Someone would have brought it up from clubland, but yeah, I don't like it. If you're going up and competing for the footy, no dramas. I thought that was always the rule. If you went up, had eyes for the footy and you were competing and, you know, you challenged for the football alongside the guy that was standing underneath it to try and catch it, then let's play on. Completely understand if you don't have eyes for the footy and you're just going in there to whatever. Like, what? Why is this new disruptor thing? What is that?
Well, it's almost like when all the crackdowns on the head highs came in, it was almost like we stepped into this new world of, like, we told ourselves that we never penalised head highs before, and all of a sudden now we're penalising them. It's like,
yeah,
we always penalise people going up for the ball and not looking at it and trying to take players out. Like that's
always been a thing.
It's always been a thing. Like, mate, I don't think you were actually going for the ball. Boom, penalty. And so, like, me as an outside back, you know, I know it sounds silly, but, like, I used to take a lot of pride in that. Like, I would not be, no matter what you did coming through, whether you were either going to take me out, whether you were dummying to catch the ball, I was willing to go up and make that catch. And it was something that I felt I was quite good at compared to some other wingers, where they would get distracted by it, not focus on catching the ball. And so I just don't understand. Like, put it this way. Even if I'm going up for a ball and someone jumps past me and, like, pretends to flick it back but doesn't. So on one part of the game, we applaud. Like, if I throw a dummy to hit a short runner and he goes through the line, that is deception. And we applaud that. We're deceiving the defenders. And yet, when a player does it, they deceive and they don't touch the player, but they go up, pretend to tap it back, but they don't touch anyone. And we penalise.
Player drops the ball.
Yeah. We penalise from it. It's like, so on one hand, it's good to deceive the defence, and the other hand, it's not. I just think it's the most unnecessary rule in history. I really do. I don't understand it.
That's what I was saying, mate. Someone's had a blow up.
Yeah.
Someone's had a whinge and said, "Oh, look what's happening. This isn't a great part. It's crept into our game, and they've changed the rule." Yeah. Which was always there, I thought.
Oh, mate, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Now, also, off air, we were talking about the recent crackdown-ish on, I guess, legs tackles, or at least a third man in. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Smithy, what you were talking about earlier.
Well, yeah, like, well, I don't know. I just mentioned off air, and it'd be interesting to, you know, hear our listeners' thoughts, but what would the game look like if you banned the third man in? What would it look like? I'll tell you one change I would make straight away. So forget about the banning the third man. I'll tell you what we need to do as a game is reward one-on-one legs tackles.
Yep.
Okay? Reward one-on-one legs tackles. Because if you start doing that, I think players and more importantly coaches will start to coach the low tackle again. Because at the moment, everyone knows, all coaches and all players know that you're not rewarded for a legs tackle. You see on the weekend, and you see it more often out wide, right? But even if there's a good low tackle in the middle against a big front rower, as soon as that ball carrier, as soon as he hits the ground and his legs have been chopped out from underneath him by a single defender, the referees are screaming at the defender to let go. Like, let go, release, let go of his legs, let him up. So in actual fact, what they're doing is they're rewarding the ball carrier for what has been a classic rugby league tackle. It's the tackle that I was first taught. Is that the tackle you were first taught?
Well, mate, actually, a bit of a funny story with that. Like, you know, because the game had become so, you know, such big players and, you know, you've got to make contact with the ball, I actually, coming into first grade, because obviously I went from soccer into essentially Broncos reserve grade slash first grade, did the same training. Yep. Mate, I was really only taught to hit through the chest.
Okay, yep.
And so, and what I mean by that is like, we've gone so far away from the legs tackle, you know, that I was barely even taught that. When I'd make the argument, in today's game, with the footwork and the size and the speed, it's a harder tackle than just wrapping the ball up.
Yeah.
And so why is that not rewarded when players are the timing to land with the footwork and speed of the game today, the timing to chop someone through the middle, it's an art form. Like, it's genuinely an art form in rugby league.
Yeah. And so if you reward it more, like, you'll see more of it. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. They clue onto these things pretty quickly, coaches. You know, if they see players get rewarded for a particular tackle or a particular action on the field by the officials, then they coach it more. They talk to their players about doing that certain action more. Yeah, it's incredible. And, mate, you talk to any big guy in the game, right? You talk to any of those big front rowers and you say, what tackle do you least like performed on you? And every one of them will say, mate, someone coming in and just, like, chopping me around the legs.
Yeah.
Chopping me low around the legs, I hate it. Because they're not used to it. They want the contact up top. Look at the size of the players these days.
Yeah.
They're massive. They love it. They want people coming up high to try and tackle them chest on chest and up around the ball. Like, they train for that stuff every day, the bump.
Yeah.
You see the big collision up top, the bump. Like, that doesn't hurt them.
Nah.
They love that.
Nah.
They don't want someone hitting in low, hard around the legs early and getting them on the ground. But no one does it, and you don't see it often because referees don't reward the defender for it. They know it's going to be a quick play the ball for the attacking footy side.
Mate, you know who employs it really well when when you watch Hughes, again, when he's got a normal second rower on him, he'll tackle quite normally. When he has like a kick out or an even bigger bloke, he's really good at that, just getting super low and almost allowing them to run over him and just hold the legs, because I'm assuming in Hughes's mind, he's going, look, I can go up top and get completely bumped, or at the very least, I can make the tackle. Even though it's going to be a quick play the ball, I'll still make the tackle.
Yeah.
But, mate, I totally agree with you. I think that if we begin, and I also think that if we talk about concussion, you know, in the game today, and obviously, you know, medically retiring with Al Finucane, if you started teaching good quality legs tackles, and I'm not talking about the legs tackles where you've literally got to stand in front and try and shot a huge guy, because that's obviously putting your head in the wrong place, but I'm talking the ones where you chop them down from side angles and really safe kind of legs tackles.
Yeah.
I do think you'd probably reduce head knocks.
Mm. Yeah, in a way, but I think a lot of the coaching, it's almost like a generational thing, mate. Mm. So, you know how you talk about when you come into the game, like, you're really the tackle that you practice the training and that you were taught was up high and through the middle. Mm. Now it's and now it's two up top and one comes in just to try and grab a hold of the legs and pin the legs and they topple the player over. So it's almost like we'd have to start again at the bottom. So go all the way back to grassroots football and say, right, almost like an experiment, right?
Yeah.
And you say, right, these crop of players coming through, we're going to start legs tackling again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then bring them all the way through, because sometimes it's hard. Like, something that's been trained into you for such a long period of time, it's hard to break that habit, right? Mm. So, yeah, it's just where the game's at the moment. That was just a discussion, really. Like, it wasn't about saying that our game's not going well or anything like that. I think we just something to think about. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. More of a discussion rather than having the answers to the questions that we're asking. You know, for example, Hayden has texted in. He said, how do you reward it? And that's a great question. You know, in my opinion, Smithy, I'd love to hear yours. You just, when the ref identifies a low tackle, he allows the player to hold the legs for a couple extra seconds.
Yeah, it's like a surrender tackle, right? So when ball carriers want to come in and just make initial contact, then find the ground, and all they're doing is they're looking for a quick play of the ball, the referees call surrender. So what that slows the ruck down. That slows the play of the ball down. It gives the defense time to get up and get set at marker and gets their an opportunity to get a straight line, get their numbers right. So you do the same thing with a nice low legs tackle. That's how it's rewarded. You allow the player to hold on to the legs for, I don't know, maybe another second, second and a half, whatever it is. But as it is right now, you see a classic legs tackle. As soon as that ball carrier touches the ground, the defender's being asked to let go.
Yep.
And he loses all of the hard work that he's just done.
And like, not only is it a quick play of the ball, he's on the deck, so he's not even back for sometimes the tackle after.
Yeah. Yep.
Concussion is another. It's reared its head again in the game of rugby league, mate. I guess, you know, it's such a complicated, you know, topic to talk about, because really it's specialists that have the information in regards to, you know, where the latest research is at, you know, the best ways to curtail, you know, concussion. But I guess from a former player's perspective, earlier in the SEN's programming, they were discussing, you know, rule changes, maybe a 5 meter, maybe a 5 meter get back 5 meters, retreat.
Yep.
I guess what are your thoughts on the concussion situation?
Well, it's really difficult, right? Given the sport that we play, it's high impact, it's collision, it's played at great speed. So there's always going to be times or situations where players they're in a position where they could have head contact with someone else, whether that be with opposition player, whether that be with a teammate, and sometimes it's with the ground. It's unfortunate. It's a part of the game that I think is unavoidable. And a lot of these times where there is head contact, I believe it's more accidental or incidental parts of our game. Like if you look back over our sport over the last, you know, let's say 20 years, it's as clean as it's ever been. As far as actions from opposition players are concerned. Like talking about, like going back through, I'd even go back through, you know, some of the early games when I was a little fella watching in the 90s, certainly the 80s and 70s, and probably the further you go back, the worse it was. But like they used to try and code hanger people. They would smash opposition players in the face when they were coming into tackles. Like if you were carrying the football back in the day, like you had to run with your arm up across your face, because you knew at some stage you're going to get whacked in the mouth, in the nose, in the chin, wherever it was. Like they were coming for you. And you know, like, do you say they were dirty? I wouldn't say it was dirty. They were just, it was mean. It was a mean game. So that's what I mean now. Like today's game compared to, you know, going back a little bit, back in the day, like, It's cleaner than it's ever been.
Yeah,
like the players are more conscious, they're more aware of high contact and you know, hitting people in the head, and like that's just not in the sport anymore. Like even when I started playing in 03, like you used to be able to tackle blokes up a little bit higher, and you used to be able to, like, a little tap on the chin and all that sort of stuff, they let you get away with, but there were no one was aiming for your head. They knew that if you come in with a swinging arm and you collected someone high, like, you're going to get in trouble. So I just think right now in the game, the way it's played right now in its fashion that it's played in, like, it's played with great speed. The players are bigger than they've ever been. So the collisions are higher with more force. So there's always going to be times where there's accidental contact with the head. It's a really important part of the game too, and I think the game as a whole are doing an exceptional job at trying to prevent it and discourage it, as far as, you know, any high contact in the game now. Like, it rarely gets missed.
Yeah.
So players are getting penalised, players are getting charged, players are being suspended and fined for any type of high contact. So, you know, it's doing its part as a game. And I think, you know, coaches and players are toeing the line too. They understand how serious the situation is of head contact, concussion, all this type of stuff. But can we eliminate it from our sport? I don't know. That's the answer I think that we're all looking for.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, just to kind of back up what you're just saying, I think that the mindset of eliminating it from our sport, which is what you're alluding to, it's almost going to be impossible. But what can we do to create an environment where we identify when it does happen, because then we can take the right actions? For example, you know, if we've got a young, let's say we've got a brand new 19-year-old rookie coming in, with all the information we know now, if he does get up around the 5-6 concussion mark in the first few years, then we say, mate, you know, you may need to step away for a year or whatever it is. You know, the doctors will speak, you know, the medical professionals. But I think that's what the best case scenario for us will be, is we'll be monitoring it, understanding it won't be eliminated, but at the same time, we can take steps to reduce it to a degree. But I think if we go in with the mindset of eliminating it, it's just, it'll never end. We'll just get down to the path in 50 years where we won't even be playing or it'll be touch footy. And I know it sounds alarmist, but it's 100% true. If your mindset is, we want zero concussions and we want zero head contact, the game of rugby league does not exist, in my opinion.
No. Well, it either doesn't exist, mate, or it's a game that's not recognisable to today.
Yeah. Yep. Which I think that would be a real shame. So I think that we do kind of need to go, okay, it's going to be around probably forever in rugby league. How do we make sure that if a player is concussed or, you know, these things happen, we have everything in place to make the best decision as to what they should do going forward.